Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. This is the Book of Colossians. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I worship you. You, Father, gave Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, to be head over all. The church and all of creation, he is the head of everything. He is the invisible. He is the perfect reflection of who you are, Father, in the flesh. I thank you and I praise you. I pray that you would anoint our ears and our eyes, that we would hear and receive, that the teaching would be led of the Spirit of God, that you would bring forth the truth that you want in this hour through this book, in Yeshua's name. Colossians, I started out with another teaching, the introduction to Yeshua the Head. This is about Yeshua the Head in Colossians. In the prior teaching, I just want to make one correction. I was speaking about Mary of Bethany anointing the head of Yeshua, and in there I was a tad bit distracted and referred to that she was anointing her head. She was anointing his head, Yeshua's head. And it came to me, because I pray that the Lord lead me, even in my mistakes, as I was reflecting on it, I felt like the Lord was saying, when you anoint me, you anoint my head. When you put that place of preeminence, that worship that she was giving to me, that dew, that fragrant, that costly spikenard that she broke and poured over my head, that she anointed me for burial, that worship, that spikenard was a year's wages. It was the betrothal price, the bride price for the marriage. And it signified, in a sense, that as she poured her fragrant anointing, her life, her savings, that thing that was very significant as an act of worship over his head, and anointed Yeshua for burial to receive his bride, that likewise he anoints her and her head and receives her as part of the bridal price, his sacrificial suffering and taking her place for her sins on the cross. So I just want to give clarity to that. This will be the book of Colossians, the epistle of Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, begins the book of Colossians, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Now, Colossae is in Asia Minor. It's a city in Turkey. Paul established that was established in the first century. The book of Colossians is how those who are in Christ, to the saints and the faithful ones, and is written to keep Christ, who is Christ in the body. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 3, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth, of the truth of the gospel. So here he's affirming and he's articulating who this is written to, that he's thanking them, that they heard of your faith and your love for all the saints, their reputation came before them, and the reason that they have faith in Christ and hope and love, because they have a hope, a heavenly eternal hope, and they heard this, they received this hope through the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world. And it is bringing forth fruit. So this gospel is going out into the whole world. It's a vine, it's a branch, it's a tree, and there's fruit that's coming forth. as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So this fruit, this truth of the gospel, brings forth God's truth. It brings forth fruit in their lives, which is the love for all the saints and an eternal hope. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. So evidently Epaphras was the minister to this church, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. And it's Epaphras' testimony to Paul about who they are, their love in the Spirit. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord. So here, the first thing they ask is the knowledge that we should pray for, and we should pray the scriptures. This is the perfect prayer. We pray the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that our walk may be worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. So this is what wisdom and spiritual understanding do. They give us a walk worthy of the Lord, and we please him. And then, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is this whole abiding in this love in the Spirit. And that we are fruitful in good works, we increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And this is where he enables us and strengthens us for his, according to his power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. So this should be part of the fruit of our life, patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. So it is the Father who initiated us, who created us, who qualified us through Yeshua, through Jesus, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So this is who it is we are. This says that we are saints in the light, that the Father is the one that qualifies us because of Yeshua, because of our faith in the gospel that we heard. This is a great and wonderful thing. And this is our inheritance, it says, that we have in him. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his Son of love. His love. This is beautiful. That's why we're saints in the light. He took the darkness out of us and the authority of darkness over us and translates us into the reign of the Son of his love, which is Yeshua, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption, that we are redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the likeness of the image of the invisible God, or Elohim, the firstborn over all creation. So now, this is testifying, Paul is testifying of who we are and how he's praying that we will become fit to share and what God has doing in us and through us. And now he's going to begin to describe who Christ is in the creation. The reign of his love, of the Son of his love. Okay, so here he's going to describe this reign. It's in him that we have redemption through his blood. That's the first point. It is the blood of Yeshua that redeems us. And then he qualifies it by saying the forgiveness of sins. That is our redemption, is that we are delivered and forgiven of our sins. Then he describes them as who is the light, this Redeemer, who is the likeness of the invisible Elohim, the firstborn of all creation. So he's the likeness of the invisible God. He is God in the flesh. He is the firstborn of all creation. That is to say that he is God, and out of him all creation stems. Because in him were created all that are in the heavens and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Okay, in him, in Yeshua, all that's created in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulerships or principalities or authorities, all have been created through him and for him. So God the Father created these, all of creation, through Yeshua and for him. So everything that we see around us, we are created through him, and we are created for him. Whether any things that are visible or invisible in the heavens or on the earth, thrones, rulerships or principalities, authorities. So it's all in Yeshua. And he is before all. And in him all hold together. So he is the preeminent person of creation. He is in the Father, the Creator. He was created. And he is the likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. And everything was created through him and for him. My, my. Absolutely phenomenal. he is before it. He's the beginning. And all of it is held together by him. He is the Word in Genesis where he spoke. He spoke. You know, let's look at Genesis. Just for example. And this is amazing. And Elohim said, let light come to be. And light came. That's the first thing that God said. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So it was him. He was the creation. All of everything was in him. And the earth came to be formless and empty. Everything was created in him and for him. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might become the one who is first all in all. This is in the scriptures from South Africa. In the King James, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. So God is the Lord Yeshua is the head of the body, the assembly, or the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might in all things have the preeminence, or that he might become the one who is first in all. So here we understand that Yeshua is the head of the church and in the beginning, and he is the firstborn from the dead. So now it's talking about his resurrection from the dead that proved that he has all authority over life and death and creation. And in this, that he may have the preeminence, because in him, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, or all the completeness, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on the earth or things in the heaven, having been made peace through the blood of his cross. Now here we see a cyclical pattern of thought that is beginning. It says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. In him, in creation, all of this was created in and through him. And then there was opposition to him. And there was fallenness and sin and darkness. There was light, and then there was darkness. And in the process of this restoration or this redemption as the firstborn from the dead, okay, then he's restoring creation back to himself, or he was reconciling all things back to himself by him, by Yeshua, where the things on the earth are things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So this is a process of moving away from God, the cross coming, the blood, and the blood of the life and the light of God, restoring and reconciling all things back to the Godhead. And you, who were once alienated and estranged enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Okay, or he has completely restored you to favor with God. He says, you were once the enemy of God, in the body of his flesh through his death, to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in his sight. So here is the work that Yeshua has done by reconciling you when you come to him, to present you. If indeed you continue in the faith, that is, if you stay in the truth that was first given to you by trusting in the gospel, and you're grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So here Paul says, this is the process. He took us from the beginning of creation. He says, this is who God is. This is who Yeshua is. He was in God. He was the firstborn. All things were created. He was the first creation. And then everything was created through him, for him. And then he came. And by his blood and his resurrection from the dead, now he's reconciling everything back to him. That's everything in heaven and earth, all thrones, principalities, powers, all of creation. And he is also reconciling you, because you were alienated and enemies by your wickedness, but he has reconciled you in by the body of his flesh through his death, so that he can present you to the Father, holy and blameless and irreproachable, if, of course, you continue in the faith and be grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Okay, so there are some qualifiers there about maintaining the original faith and the work and understanding who Yeshua is, that he is the head and that you are knit into him, and he has the preeminence in everything, in all of creation, and over all of those that are his, that he's reconciling to him. What's going to happen to those who are not reconciled to him? They will be burned up and destroyed, and they will perish forever. That is what the scripture teaches. Verse 24 says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, this is Paul, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So here he's describing his role as the minister and the servant of Christ. And he's rejoicing in his sufferings because he is participating with Christ for the body, the church. And let's go to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. So he's saying this is the fulfilling. Christ is the fulfilling of the word of God and this mystery. And he is a steward of this mystery. That is why he prays when he began. He said, I'm going to pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You will need this to understand the mystery, this mystery of the gospel and the workings of the eternal God and his creative redemptive work. To them, God, that is the saints, God has willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here he's saying the next portion of this, after he's described his ministry and the stewardship of the mysteries of God, and the revealing of it now in that generation of the first century church, then God is, which is part of knowing what the will of God is, he's revealing these riches of his glory among the Gentiles. So it wasn't just for the Jews, of which Paul was a Jew, and which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here we say, oh, now this is a different, this is different than the Old Testament teachings where we knew of Christ through signs and types, through the tabernacle, through the Moses, through the Levitical law, through the Passover lamb, through Pentecost. All these things pointed to who God was through form and ritual, sign and type. But now Christ has come, and not only has he come, but now he's given us understanding of the mysteries, but now he comes, and the anointing, Christ, the anointed one, comes when we receive him and believe in him, as he said, and we believed in the gospel and were not moved from it, and then he is in us. This is the hope of glory, that Christ is in us and operates in and through us. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So this Christ comes, this anointing comes in us, and this glory comes in us. We become vessels, and Paul as a servant is a steward of this glory. And we preach and warn and teach in wisdom. Now wisdom, see, he asked, it, his first prayer was to his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So these things are attributes that are developed in us through prayer and through beginning to understand the mysteries of God and the gospel, and not being moved from the hope of the gospel, to be grounded and steadfast in these principles of who God is and what his redemptive purpose is. Throughout all the ages, he completely describes it, that Christ in him is everything. All the fullness of Godhead bodily dwells, and he's the head over everything, and even over his own body. And he proved it, and he, by the fact he came in the flesh and then raised himself from the dead. And so this is the ministers of the gospel then are to preach and warn and teach wisdom, this wisdom. And the wisdom is that we are to present every man perfect in Christ. Okay? And what happens when you're perfect in Christ? What happens when you've come to that mature state? You look like Jesus the Christ. You become his child. You become sons and daughters of God. And you have that character operating, that abiding, that fruit. When did he say I'm here? He said that you will bring forth fruit. You know, you've heard this gospel, the truth of this gospel, the love and the truth of the gospel and the grace and the fruit, that it will bring forth fruit. And not only fruit in you, since the day you heard it, but also in all the world. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And that working in him was Christ. The hope of glory was working in him. That's why he was in the flesh suffering and participating in the afflictions of Christ for the body of Christ, for the rest of, for the head. He's working under the head for the body of Christ to bring her into alignment with the mysteries and the truths of the gospel of truth and grace, and to exhort and encourage them, to teach and preach them in all wisdom, to present them perfect, so that they would not be moved from the hope of this gospel. And this is the purpose of Paul. This is his ministry. This is a nutshell, the mystery of God in one chapter, and how it's to work from the beginning through creation to receive the inheritance of his blood-bought body, of which Yeshua is the head, the preeminence over all. And he is the head of everything. So, Father, we just thank you that you gave us your precious Son, that you give us the Spirit of God to understand the mystery of all the ages and the wisdom about your glorious power and your grace and the riches of your revelation, that we have this hope of glory in us, that you release to us wisdom and spiritual understanding to know the mysteries of the gospel, and that we would understand what the stewards of these your servants, your ministers, look like as they're bringing people into presenting them perfect in Christ, to bring them into the actual transformation, to deliver them from all their wicked and evil ways and thoughts, and to redeem them, to reconcile them to God through Yeshua the Christ, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church. We thank you, Lord. May we continue steadfast and grounded and not moving in this great mystery of the ages. And Father, I thank you for all who've listened. I pray your rich blessings be upon them, and that the jewels of the treasure chests of the kingdom be released to them with great spiritual wisdom and insight. In the name of our holy Savior, Yeshua, the Messiah. Thank you for joining me, and I will do Colossians 2 next. I, Kathleen Pearl, have produced this teaching. You are welcome to freely reproduce it on CDs or other methods of transmission. Please do not change the context of the teaching. My website is www.kdpearlministries.org. Goodbye now.